So good to have you here today, and especially for our guest. Again, we're very, very honored to have you. It's encouraging to know that you are interested in the Lord and in spiritual things, and you've encouraged us by your presence, and we appreciate you being with us today. Perhaps the most well-known of the presidents of the United States are George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln made this statement. He said, I am now the most miserable man alive, and whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. Amazing statement from a very great man, but simply suggests the fact that after a set of disappointments, he was in the pit of despair, and that all of us are challenged by discouragement. Whether we're young or old, whether we're powerful and in authority, or whether we're not, whether we're rich or poor, we all face discouragement. Statistics tell us that old folks especially face times of discouragement by reason of age, but I would suggest to you that it really doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. There are times when we find ourselves in the valley rather than on the mountaintops. And some say that successful people are more prone to discouragement because they set high and lofty goals and then they don't attain those dreams, and therefore they become discouraged. But I would suggest to you that it doesn't really matter where you are or what stage of life or who you are. The reality is that we all get discouraged from time to time. And the real gist of it is that it's not whether or not we're discouraged, but the real gist of it is how do we handle the valleys. It's not whether or not you're on the mountaintop, but sometime we're going to find ourselves in the valleys. And the reality is that when life fluctuates, how do you handle those times when you find yourself in the pit of despair? How do we handle it? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Apostle Paul wrote this statement. Again, a very amazing man, an amazing character. But notice what he says. He says, "For we did not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." What a statement. We were so down in the dumps, if you will, that we even despaired of life. Some have suggested that Paul wrote this statement with regard to the second journey. The first time that he had come to the city of Corinth was on that second journey. And in the book of Acts, the 18th chapter, which I want you to turn with me to, if you will, in the New Testament, we find a couple of important lessons from Acts chapter 18 that I want us to look at today with regard to discouragement. Number one, some of the reason for Paul's discouragement, and number two, the resources that were at Paul's disposal to help him when he was in the valley. First of all, consider with me, number one, that one of the reasons for Paul's discouragement was the immoral city that he had come to in Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. That is the sinful surroundings. Reality is that there were times when Paul was stirred in the spirit, the 17th chapter of Acts, the 16th verse, that when he saw the city of Athens given to idolatry, he was stirred in the spirit and wanted to preach and couldn't keep his mouth shut, couldn't keep quiet about it. So he comes to Corinth, which is a crossroad of trade and commerce. And probably the most well-known thing that we know about Corinth and the church at Corinth and the challenges there was that this was an extremely immoral city. It was a city that was given to immorality. Thus, Paul comes to this city and he finds himself in these sinful surroundings, and they must have been at times somewhat overwhelming. Do you ever get discouraged about our nation? Do you ever get discouraged about the fact that ungodliness becomes more and more accepted in our society? You become discouraged because the courts of law now, it seems, are more bent on whatever is right in your own eyes rather than what is right, what is truly right, and what is truly good. Where homosexuality, alcoholism, divorce, and drug abuse have become our national shame. And when we hear of another political scandal, we're not surprised anymore because, after all, it has become more the norm rather than the exception. And sometimes we find ourselves in this ungodly world, migrating closer to the world and farther away from God. And thus we find ourselves again on our knees, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the good things that I want to do, those things I don't do. And those things which I wish I wouldn't do, I find myself doing. We lust, we lie, we find ourselves again losing our temper, or offering some kind of unkind or unloving word toward a mate, or toward a child, or toward a friend. And sometimes we even wonder if God really loves us, or if God is truly patient with us, because we can't believe that the sin we committed before, once again, we find ourselves committing that sin again. All of these things bring discouragement. But there is a second reason for Paul's discouragement, and that's loneliness. Now, it's true that when he came to the city of Corinth, he found a couple of friends, and we'll mention those in a minute. But in the fifth verse, it seems that he had left a couple of his traveling companions behind. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. So we find that he had left Silas and Timothy behind, his traveling companions, and he had come alone on a rather long and lengthy journey from Athens now to the city of Corinth. Paul often spoke of loneliness. For example, if you want to hold your place and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and beginning with verse 10, Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him." Jesus understood loneliness in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there are times in our life when we feel like we're all alone in this. Nobody really cares. Nobody really knows. You ever been in a hospital? You have a loved one facing maybe life-threatening surgery, and you feel like you're the only one there? Or perhaps you've reached a stage of life where you have lost your mate of 40 or 50 years, and suddenly you face the reality that now, all of a sudden, I'm all alone. And so we find that Paul comes to this really thriving metropolis, but there is this sense of loneliness that would have discouraged him and been a reason for his discouragement. The third reason for discouragement is fatigue and weariness. We follow the travels of Paul that actually begin in the 16th chapter of, well, actually, chapter 15 and verse 39 is where the second journey begins, chapters 16, 17, and 18. And everywhere he goes, he finds opposition. In Philippi, he's thrown into prison. He comes to Thessalonica, and the Jews come and stir them up, and he's forced to leave the city. He comes to Berea, and again, a band of Jews follow him, the enemy, and he's forced to leave Berea. And he comes to Athens, and he finds a city given to idolatry, and he's stirred in the spirit. Now, this travel of 2,000 miles, perhaps some of them say that Paul walked 1,500 of those 2,000 miles. He would have been tired when he came to the city of Corinth. In fact, if you want to hold your place and look at 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, every time I read this, I stand amazed at this man. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and beginning with verse 24, "From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness, and beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, the deep concern, my deep concern for all the churches. And so Paul may have been discouraged because he was tired. Ever get discouraged? 40 hours a work week. You come home, you've got kids to take care of. You got the family, you got the automobile. Sometimes health concerns overwhelm us and we've got to make another trip to the doctor or see the surgeon. Sometimes the finances aren't exactly what we want them to be. And then there is a reality at times of spiritual weariness and the spiritual battles that we're engaged in. And sometimes, unfortunately, all we get from time when we come to church is, well, you know, you need to attend and pay. But nothing said about the reality of God in our life. And some people seem to have the concept and idea that God is this cosmic cop, that somehow that he is this dictatorial tyrant, that he's ready to kick us out of the club. And so we become very discouraged and spiritually weary. This may have been one of the reasons for Paul's discouragement. A fourth reason is because of rejection. In the 18th chapter of Acts and in verse 6, "But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles.'" And so we find that even in the city of Corinth, as in every city that he had come to, he finds himself rejected. Once again, ridiculed for his preaching the gospel. Once again, rejected. Sometimes arrested. Sometimes thrown out of the city and thrown, hoping that he would be dead. You know, failure is sometimes difficult to take. We all like to be wanted and liked. And so therefore, because of rejection, Paul may have well been discouraged. And you understand this. For example, maybe you offer warmth to a mate and all you get is an unkind word. Maybe there is a rebellious child. Or maybe it's a boss that doesn't appreciate your work. Yet the marvelous thing about Paul is that in spite of all of this discouragement, he doesn't quit. He continues to persevere and to do the things that he knows that God wants him to do. So what are some of the resources at Paul's disposal that helps him in this time of discouragement? Number one, solid friendships. In the 18th chapter of Acts, we're introduced to this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, mentioned in the second verse. "And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them." So the first thing that Paul does to take care of the loneliness is he attaches himself to these two friends, this godly couple named Aquila and Priscilla. What's interesting is that Paul wanted to go to Rome. They had come from Rome because of persecution, and they both understood what it was like to be rejected because of their godly life. It is absolutely imperative during times of discouragement, while it is natural to isolate and withdraw, it is imperative that we connect ourselves with somebody, a godly friend, someone to lift us up. You know, drug addicts have a problem with withdrawal when the reality is that what they really need is they need to attach themselves to those who are winners. Barbara Streisand said, "People who need people are the luckiest people in the world." Wrong. People who need people are all the people in the world. The reality is that we all need people. We need the encouragement of friends. God understood that. He understands that we are social creatures, and so when we're in the valley, we need the encouragement of godly people. You know, the book of Hebrews, the third chapter, the writer of the Hebrew letter says, beginning in verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And the same writer, in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter in verse 24, Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning with verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, we have some of this congregation who have not been here for a long time. And Paul and Tommy and I are concerned about that. The reality is that in this world, we need the support group. For us to walk with God, we need the encouragement. We need to be provoked. God understood that. That's why He gave the commandment that is found in Hebrews 10. That's why He gave the commandment that is found in Hebrews 3. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, because of the challenges of sin. And so when you find yourself in the valley, the best way to be encouraged is to find a brother who is winning, who can help you during the time of discouragement. Furthermore, Paul maintains spiritual priorities. His primary reason for coming to Corinth was to preach the gospel. And in the fourth verse, it says he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So Paul said, "I've got a job to do." You know, sometimes when we're down in the valley, we don't feel like doing the job, right? Do it anyway. I don't feel like assembling with the brethren. Assemble anyway. I don't feel like being kind today. Be kind anyway. I don't feel like working today. Work anyway. And work hard. In fact, what's interesting is that when Paul, like Rocky, was down on the mat, he was getting up. Stop complaining and get up and do the task that God would have you to do. And it's interesting that when Paul was busy about the task, what we find is that all of a sudden there is success. And so he doesn't have success in the synagogue. So he goes, it says in verse 7, to Crispus the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. Or he goes to this one whose house was next door to the synagogue. And then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Persistence pays. So when you don't feel like it, do it anyway. Keep your focus and maintain your priority. A third resource at Paul's disposal was that he was encouraged by God. In verse 8, or verse 9 beginning, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Another tool at his disposal was the very presence and care of God. God always is there. And God is there to encourage us. And we must keep on pressing on, persevering, because the reality is that we are not alone. And there are some things God can do that you and I can't do. But the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, when you're discouraged, remember the friends. When you're down the valley, keep your focus on the priorities and be encouraged by the presence of God. You know, there are some people that are probably in despair because of the burden and guilt of sin. But Jesus Christ has an answer. Jesus died so that you could be relieved from that burden and be reconciled to God. And you come to Jesus by obedience to a simple command: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to make Him the Lord and Master of your life? Are you willing to be buried with Him in baptism and free from the guilt of sin, raised to walk a new life? If there's someone here today who wishes to come to the Lord on His term, we would rejoice in that opportunity and welcome the opportunity to assist you and help you in any way. If we can help you, we certainly would invite you to come now and stand and sing the song for us.